You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is, Were You There? A lot of people question this book, this Bible, that don't question a lot of other books. And one of the questions you'll get is, well, how do you know all this happened? Were you there? Did you see it? Do you know for a fact? There's plenty of American history that is getting rewritten. And there is plenty of American history that's not getting rewritten, that there are no pictures. It's just stories. And part of the problem with stories is people say, well, how do you know they didn't just make those up? There's nobody there that was there. We don't know what really happened. We're trusting these accounts. So let's start with this. If you can trust what they claim happened, let's say the Battle of Gettysburg or wherever it may be, you say, well, yeah, I think that's what happened. How can you just trust that? You weren't there. Nobody you know was there. You weren't there. Well, then it's a theory. It's someone's idea. No, you don't think you see it that way. You go, no, that's probably exactly what happened. Then why do you have so much trouble with a book that God claims to have gotten written and probably has some interest in preserving? Now, if you can go that far, then go to Acts chapter 3 with me, and let me read you some verses, and we're going to look at a number of things today along this category of being there, and were you there? Acts chapter 3, verse 13. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which, and look at this phrase, we are witnesses. So somebody writing this says, this isn't hearsay. We saw it happen. We know what happened. And supposedly Luke wrote the book of Acts. That's one of the best theories here, that he's the one that wrote this. And so he was there. Were you there? Yes, I was there. Although most of these guys weren't there very long because everybody ditched on Jesus. But he says here, which we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, at some point, you're going to have to get to the place, and this takes a combination of words and faith, you're going to have to get to the place where you say, okay, I was not there. I don't know anyone who was there. But I see what it says, I hear what it says, and I sense that God has given me faith to believe what the scripture says. So I am going to take a step in faith, because believing whether George Washington lived or not, or anybody else in history, which nobody sits around going, oh, I think they made all that up. This is not whether some historical fact happened or not. This is about whether some stuff happened that if you don't accept and believe and get in your life, you will be separated from God forever. That's big stuff. Go to Acts chapter 5, the same phrase, Acts 5 verse 31. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior. This is talking about Jesus. To give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Now, this is interesting. You say, well, now it's not only the people who have seen it were there say we are his witnesses. But now he's saying the Holy Spirit is one of the witnesses. So let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit. He ain't dead. And the same Holy Spirit who was there when all this was going down is the same Holy Spirit who lives in me. You say, well, I'm not a Christian yet, so how is that going to factor in with me? He's the same Holy Spirit who is witnessing to you about these facts trying to get in you. You say, I don't know what you're talking about. You know what? The longer I live, the more people know that I speak with. You know exactly what I'm talking about if you know what I'm talking about. Because when the Holy Spirit comes after you and literally like atmospheric pressure begins to convict you of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, you begin to be aware of your depravity, of your despair, your desperate need for him. And you realize, this is the old Greek word, that your life sucks from suckos. You have to back me up on this, brother. That ain't in there, but whether it's in there or not, that's what he says. You know what? If your life is so good, why does it suck so bad? And that's how people feel. You say, nobody's feeling that way. You can't become a Christian without arriving at the reality that you're a sinner. So all of a sudden he hits you, and not in a mean way. He's not trying to destroy you. He's trying to rescue you, to save you. So this same Holy Spirit comes along. So here's the chemistry of this thing. I get up here and read these words. Then the Holy Spirit backs up these words by impressing upon your heart, saying, look, I was there. He's reading about people who wrote it down who were there. You can trust this. And you go, okay, so am I going to believe all these people or not, including one of the persons of the Godhead being the Holy Spirit? And you go, it's just too crazy. I can't do it. You are going to miss eternity in heaven with God, end up in a real hell. You think, well, no, this is hell. You have no idea what real hell is. And then you say, well, but now you're talking about hell, and now you're trying to scare the hell out of us. And, you know, you're going to start banging and screaming and threatening. And it's not about that. It's real. And if you don't figure this out, it's going to be real, real. And people say, well, how long is forever? It's forever. So now you got the Holy Spirit as one of the witnesses. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart and say yes. It's your life at stake. Acts chapter 10, verse 39, this phrase, and we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. So he picked certain people to reveal himself to. Somehow he still does that. I cannot begin to tell you how grateful I am. I don't know how this works. I know what the book says about it. I do not understand how all the billions of people that are alive and that will live whenever history comes to an end, that somehow he came after me. You cannot tell God no. If you do, it's catastrophic. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or you do not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Keep going. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Now, wait a minute. It's 2,000 years ago. How can I have been crucified with him when I wasn't even born? I didn't exist. So some of what you may not understand or know, period, is that when Jesus died on the cross, you died too. Keep reading. That our old man, this old man, the old us, talking to Christians here, the old man was crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Ever feel like a slave to sin? You know what a slave is? A slave is someone who has no rights and does what the master tells him to do all the time. I don't feel dead to anything. Some stuff I feel okay dead to, but I don't feel 100% dead. I'm still winking and moving an arm and, you know, kind of, is it dead? I don't know. I don't think so. You know, being barely dead ain't dead. Barely alive, he's hanging on. No, you can't hang on to anything and live the Christian life. That's not what he intended. For he, verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Why do you think heaven gets so exciting to some people? Because we're out of here. I don't have to put up with this nonsense anymore. Wrestling with these things and reckoning myself dead to sin, alive unto God. Be home, new body, new heaven, new earth. Like, I'm out of here. So it's not a death wish, it's a life wish. But yet he promises me life between here and heaven. So get in on that life. It is so hard to die. So hard to die. Even Jesus in the garden, what? If there's any way, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done. What would it take? Let's say I get John up here on the stage and I pull out a gun and I say, John, trust me. I'm going to shoot you in the head and you're going to die. And then I'm going to raise you from the dead. Trust me. Are you in, John? You say, well, that's crazy stuff. Unless you had seen someone die and be raised from the dead. And you knew the person who did it could probably do it again. He said, okay, let's do it. And their promise was, you're going to die, and when I raise you from the dead again, you come back from the dead, you'll be free from everything you had to put up with on the front side. You'll have a new life. You'll be free from that. So you want to be free from that. That'd be great. He said, I can't risk losing my life. What if I don't come back? What if it doesn't work? Then the entire universe collapses. That's what happens. He has to do what he says he can do. One of the cool things about raising Lazarus from the dead is they got a taste. He said, I'm talking about dying, being buried, raised from the dead. So watch this. We're going to let Lazarus die and be an experiment. You're going to see someone wrapped up, grave clothes, rotten, stinking dead. And then I'll raise him from the dead. Then you'll have a category. He can do it. Keep reading. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, again, this with Christ thing, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now I'm going to say this, and this is going to make either perfect sense or no sense. You are free from sin. The only reason you are not free from your sin is you do not believe it. And the devil says you can't quit that. And you say, okay, I'm going to go with what he says. And then you go back and do the same thing. The second you stop and say, okay, God, I do not have to do this anymore. I am dead to this. Is that right? He says, yes, that's true. Then by faith, you say, okay, I reckon myself dead to this. This cannot. And then all of a sudden, supernaturally, something kicks in. You say, well, I'm an alcoholic and I've tried that on alcohol. And I still have these things. It doesn't say to do this by yourself. And you say, well, I still have these struggles. Of course you do. You're a human being. And it may be a problem. For some people, a deliverance in this way is an event. Boom, they have never had any more desire. They figured out. Other people, it's like a thorn in the flesh and it just doesn't go away. So you say, I can't live and do it by myself. You weren't intended to. So get a bunch of other people around you and say, help me, talk to me, ask me questions. All right, let's keep trying. All right, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is going to be a little more technical in nature, but it'll help you, hopefully. I think I've read this a few times before. So it took somebody showing me this. And if you already know it, great. And if you've heard it before and still don't get it, then pay close attention. Okay? Because there's something you say, well, you already preached about this. I've been preaching about Jesus dying, being buried, and raised from the dead every week for years. Some stuff you repeat. 1 Corinthians 15:42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It is sown a natural body. In other words, a physical body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. And so it is written. The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Okay, so what has he said right there so far? The first man, who's the first man? Adam, okay? So everybody visualize this. You got Adam over here. So you got Adam, and you walk from Adam all along the way, and then you come to a what? What does it say? A what? Last what? A last Adam. So if that was the first Adam, and you got a last Adam, there are no more Adams because there's a last Adam, right? Okay? So that's body. Okay? I'm working on that. Somebody's been helping with that. That is everybody, because after the last Adam, there's no more Adams. Okay? What's the next thing say? However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. So physical, then spiritual. And afterward, the spiritual. The first man, so who was the first man? Adam. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. And then look at this phrase. What? The second man. Who's the first man? Who's the second man? Okay. So we got a first man, Adam. Walk along. We got a last Adam. And then all of a sudden, we have a second man, who's Jesus. Okay? So when Jesus died on the cross, what did he die as? The last Adam. And when he is raised from the dead, what is he? The second man. So what got screwed up from Adam to the last Adam, and what Jesus took on himself, all of that, when he dies on the cross, buried, raised from the dead, it's a do-over, and everybody gets a fresh start. Doesn't mean everybody will accept that, but it's made available. Okay, so keep that in your head. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I've read this multiple times, and now I'm going to read it again in this context. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and jump down to verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. What does it mean to know somebody in the flesh? It means that you look at somebody and go, well, that's just who that person is. That's not just who the person is. You are more than just a body. You are someone, not something, okay? So if you're a human being in the flesh, great. But when you're born again, now there's a whole other thing going on, a whole other life, a whole other person. Yet now we know him thus no longer. And then verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ. Now, there's a lot of things people talk about, in Christ or Christ in you. To become a Christian, you have to have Christ in you. He's your hope of glory. But for that to happen, you have to understand that you are in Christ. Now, what does that mean? It means that you have to fit in somewhere from the first Adam to the last Adam. So when Jesus died as the last Adam, I am part of that. I am in Christ when he dies. So if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Why? Because when he died, I died. He's buried, I'm buried. He's raised from the dead, I'm raised from the dead. I get in on that. Then I say, old things have passed away. The old Adam stuff has passed away. Behold what? It's all new. So where I was stuck under the law, no way to stop sinning, sacrificing animals endlessly, this cycle, all of a sudden Jesus comes along and says, you know what? We're done with that. I'm going to fix this once and for all. I'll die the last Adam, be raised the second man. If you're in me, old things are passed away. All things are made new. Let's live. Hallelujah. You say, well, I'm not experiencing that. It's not because it doesn't work. You may need a little more practice, a little more instruction, and I can promise you hell is not trying to help you figure out how to work this out. Because all they're telling you is, you're a loser, look at you, you did the same thing again, 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 and again, you keep confessing it, nothing's changing. Pull some scripture on the devil. I don't have to live this way anymore. How can you be tempted by something you are dead to unless you don't believe you're dead to it? Or even worse, you don't want to be dead to it. Even if I am dead to it, I'm not interested in being dead to it because I like my sin. Now, let me give you some good and bad news about that. You're not going to be liking your sin forever because sooner or later, it wins. And when sin wins, you lose. And then you start crying out to God, help Jesus, help. And then all of a sudden, you want to be dead to every sin because you know what it can do to your life. One more, Galatians chapter 2. Let's jump in here at verse 14. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew live in the manner of the Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. And then look at this phrase, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. How can you be crucified with Christ when you're not even born when he's crucified? Because if you're in Christ and you understand that, when he died, you died. When he's buried, you're buried. When he's raised from the dead, you're raised from the dead. Just get in on it. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh and in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So how do you live the Christian life? It's right here. It's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. You know, the only man who ever lived and died and never sinned was Jesus. He's got this figured out. Do you know who lives in you when you become a Christian? Jesus. Just get out of the way and say, look, I can't do this. Up to me, by myself, trying, trusting, working this thing. Oh, I can do better. I can do better. I can't do better, God. I don't know how to do this. So Jesus, you live in me. I'm a Christian. So you got to live your life in my life. So the life that I live in the flesh, read it again. I have been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's him. Now, this is so crazy simple. You say, it doesn't feel simple. It's not really simple if you don't want to quit sinning. Because if you don't want to quit sinning, I'm not interested in any of this. I don't want my life changed. I want my ticket to heaven and live like hell and everything be okay. It doesn't work that way. You ever had your parents tell you something like this? Well, as long as you live under my roof, it's going to be this way, right? Same thing with Jesus. You say, what do you mean? I live under his roof. This ain't my roof anymore. This is his house. I'm bought and paid for. And I say, yeah, well, I like all the benefits. I just don't want to do what you want me to do. I want to do what I want to do. And he goes, well, now we got a problem. And we're going to correct that problem by correcting you. Why do you think all this consequence? Why is all this happening to me? Has it ever occurred to you that you might be a Christian and God is proving his love for you and bringing the consequence? You're my kid. Of course I'm going to spank you. I'm going to discipline you. I'm trying to teach you something. I'm trying to save your life and get my life back because you belong to me and I got a plan and a purpose for your life.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
I grew up singing old hymns, and I have a daddy who can sing. And one of the songs that he would get up from time to time and sing was a song called Were You There? Anybody know that song? It goes something like this. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when he rose up from the grave? And the answer is yes. You were there. You were there.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.